A big thanks to 323 Sports for supporting the show. The guys with 323 Sports are a team dealer providing uniforms, gear, equipment, and more to schools and colleges across the country. I've used them on multiple occasions, and their customer service and low prices are second to none. To find out more, visit 323sports.com, or you can reach out directly to a rep at sales@323sports.com. They'll be sure to do it right for your sports program. I want to welcome back to the show, Associate Head Coach for VMI, Coach Dave Davis. Coach Davis, great to see you again.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
Yeah, this is actually part two with Coach Davis. Last time we began talking about playing fast. Coach Davis has done a great job blending his defensive philosophy and offensive philosophy to create an entire system that plays fast. But when we talked originally, we only got through the defensive side. So I wanted to have him back to talk about the offensive side. In general, Coach, can you describe what your offensive philosophy is and then what that practically looks like out on the court?
Yeah, I would say it's the simplest offensive strategy in the history of basketball. If it didn't score 100 points a game, no one would ever want to talk with you about it. I would get coaches to call me up, Coach, I want to come in and spend a week with you and learn all about your system. And I would say, just give me 5 minutes on the phone here and we probably can get it figured out. So basically it is, I guess, originated or became needed, you know, as a way to play with four or five guards before everyone was doing it. And then it was highly, highly effective because everyone else had a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And we were playing, I guess, you know, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2s. And then often, you know, maybe not a bigger guy, but a back to the basket inside guy. So four around one, attack the rim by pass or dribble, drive to score or make two or more play you, make the easiest play, kill the offensive glass. So at VMI and probably everywhere we've been, it's an emphasis in everything we do. Skill-wise, individual work-wise, small group-wise, team-wise, sprint, attack, easiest, kill the glass. Sprint, attack, easiest, kill the glass. And then we repeat that in high velocity, and it works certainly not because of the scheme, but because of the relentlessness of it just over and over coming at you at, you know, we call it VMI speed, as fast as you can go without turning it over. And then we really, really talk about taking great shots. A great shot is one you believe and your coach believes you can make 7 out of 10 times. There's almost no shot that anyone has ever made 7 out of 10 times, but set the bar that high, and shot selection often is not an issue. Like a kid will take a shot in practice or a game, and I'll just kind of look at him and go, 7 out of 10? And sometimes he'll go, yeah. And I go, okay. But usually he goes, nah. I say, okay, well, you know, that's what we're trying to get. So like, you know, shot clock shots and 7 out of 10s, great shots. And then a big part of our offense for sure is 4 to the offensive glass, 4.5 to the offensive glass. We send our get back guy name to the top of the key. Everybody else goes after it and is graded on it. Standard being, go after it like you're the only one on our team who can get it. And if you don't get it, we're going to lose because you didn't try hard enough. So every shot that goes up, every player on our team gets a grade for, did they go after that rebound as hard as they can, like they're the only one on our team that can get it. Get back guy goes to the top of the key. Most get back guys, I think, go to half court. Because we send 4, they have to send 5. There's 9 people in and around the basket. He can get tip outs, sniff out some long rebounds, maybe get some additional ones there. And then we're big on the offensive rebounder kicks it out. We got a guy standing wide open, shot ready at the top of the key. We get a lot of those kind of shots. So I probably went a little over on the introduction.
No, that was great. And I mean, it sounds fun. If I was being recruited, I always wondered how you got so many great players. And that's how that sounds. It sounds simple, but it sounds fun as well. And people remember the last time we talked, the defensive side, you were pressing so many times. I'm assuming that you kind of paired it that way, that if you're pressing that much and playing that much and playing this fast, there was just a natural, hey, we're going to be able to play a lot of guys. And I'm assuming that kind of enticed more players to come and be a part of the program.
Well, as with everything with 18 to 22 year olds, you know, it can work both ways, right?
Sure.
They all think they're the best player. So now I'm only playing 20 minutes a game. It was used against us in recruiting.
Sure.
You know, a great deal. You go play for him, you're only going to play 20 minutes a game, or, you know, his highest minute guy's getting 25 minutes a game. So, you know, we really didn't get a lot of guys that other people wanted. We got overlooked guys, like a lot of us in small college, you know, find people who fit and then work harder than everybody else and develop them better than everybody else and play a way, you know, that gives you a chance to win. And I think what we were able to do was find a way to play basketball with 5'10 to 6'2 guys that gave them a chance to win, and getting the game at the highest rate of speed, always or almost always being able to control tempo. And like we talked about last time, when you press on Maids and misses, you know, there's just nowhere to go. You're always being pressured, whether you're on offense or defense. No one practices that way. Almost no one plays that way. You got 2 days to prepare for it, 1 day to prepare for it, a year to prepare for it. You know, you're just not practicing that way. We're doing it every day. You're doing it once, twice, or three times a year. Just felt like that had to give us an advantage.
What was the hardest part? And because it sounds fun, but I'm assuming once they show up, now it's like, no, it sounded one way, but this is how it's actually going to have to be. What was the hardest part in actually getting them to play that way?
It's a great question. So the question to everyone, I think, who's ever played basketball, hey, do you want to play fast? Do you want to be a part of a program that scores 100 points a game? No one's ever answered that. No, coach, I don't want to do that. I'd like to walk it up, pass it 17 times, and run, you know, sets every time. No one's ever said that's the way they want to play basketball. Followed up quickly by, do you understand how hard you have to play to be successful doing this, right? There are, I guess, a lot of programs that are known for fast-paced basketball, but did they win doing it? The goal was not, can we lead the country in scoring? The goal was not, can we score 100 points a game? The goal was, how can we find a way to be successful with 5'10 to 6'2 guys, overlooked guys, hardworking guys that can, you know, dribble, pass, and shoot a little bit, or at least two of those three things. And then getting everyone to buy into. So it just became, there's nowhere to hide. You know, if it's important to you, you got to grade it or find some way to hold them responsible, accountable to whatever it is you're asking them to do. So, you know, we grade, run the floor. Did you run as fast as you can? Is that the fastest I've ever seen you run in your life? Yes. Anything else? No. And then we'll start with 1 minute scrimmages. Right? Play our way for 1 minute in practice. It's over. Everyone's about to fall over, dead tired, because the whistle didn't blow for a minute. You went up and down seven times. Is there anyone here that wants to play longer than 1 minute in the game? Because none of you can right now. And then really just setting it up to reality and showing them one, that it works, right? And then especially at Pfeiffer, you know, we just every single year had older guys teach younger guys. And in any system, you know, how important is that? They believed completely and fully into him. You know, they would tell him he might be crazy, but he does know what he's doing. And if we do what he tells us to do, we're going to win. So, like, when you have that, and it's so hard at any time in basketball, other team sports, to get guys to buy into whatever it is you're trying to do. But when you're what we had at Pfeiffer and why we were successful for so long at Pfeiffer was just about every year we had returners that told them, so I didn't have to, you know, they were coaching every day. That was a responsibility for everybody in our program. You know, you're always a coach when you're not in the drill, you're always a coach when you're not in the game. There's too many things we have to remember You know, I tell them I'm not smart enough. I can't say enough words to get everybody ready. You guys got to help with this. And we had tremendous buy-in, belief, you know, in what we were doing. And you know, just a mindset and everything that it's all about us, not about you. They're our shots, not yours. Everybody wants to be the leading scorer. And then praising passes, you know, praising the paint touch that hit the corner that led to the one more that got us a wide open three. Well, that doesn't happen if he didn't push the ball as hard as he pushed it. That doesn't happen if he doesn't touch the paint and get the defense to converge. Like I would say all the time, you know, nobody in the stands understands this, but you just, you know, made one of the best plays in basketball. So they would hear that, you know, from us over and over, that we would praise that on film. Almost never praise the guy that scored 30. Almost never praise the making of the shot, but really, really emphasize everything that led to that, you know, wide open shot or got fouled or got to the rim play, the importance of that, how much we need that and how much we value that. So if mom wasn't telling them what a great drive and kick that was, you know, everyone else in our program was.
A Quick Timeout podcast is presented by Dr. Dish Basketball. Dr. Dish machines are the most advanced shooting machines on the market. If you haven't already, join top programs like the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Duke Blue Devils, and countless others and upgrade to Dr. Dish Basketball. And now, save an extra $300 on select models when you mention Quick Timeout Podcast. To find out more, visit drdishbasketball.com.
Hey coaches, we know you're invested in the next generation of athletes, so why not give them the star treatment this season with Game Changer? Introducing Game Changer, a free app that provides you with data to make strategic decisions and to deliver memorable moments to your team and its fans. Keep parents, friends, and supporters engaged like never before. With Game Changer's free live streaming, fans can catch every jump shot, every steal, every victory from the palm of their hand, no matter where they're at. And with real-time scorekeeping and detailed star tracking, fans get live score updates while you get stats for your team that can build all season long. Post-game, you and your staff can review full game footage while your athletes get automatically generated highlight clips of every scoring play, assist, rebound, steal, and block. Engage your players, empower your coaching decisions, and give the thrill of watching every play unfold in real time this season. Download Game Changer now on iOS or Android. Game Changer equips your team with the tools they need to succeed. Download it today and make this season one for the books. Game Changer. Stream, score, connect.
I have found that the coaches who start with, we didn't do something that's very special, it's not so much the what they do, but how they do it. And you've talked about the intensity and the things that you rewarded and emphasized. But I've also found as well, the format of the practices and what they did with the time that they had is also pretty special. What made that part of the program to have the success on the court?
I would say what's different, Tony, I think, than what most people do is we practiced full court at least half the practice. We're trying to teach everyone that plays college basketball plays it in a series of starts and stops, in a series of hesitations into the next play, and we're going to play the game as it never stops, right? The only time we're going to slow down is if the whistle blows. We're going to win the hesitations. We're going to get into the next play quicker. We're going to get started quicker. We're going to run harder. It's sprint, not jog. I can promise you the other team is not going to sprint for 40 minutes. I know that. That is an absolute guaranteed fact. The question is, will we? Because if we don't, we're not gaining the advantage that we're trying to get. We're trying to play the speed game. You must sprint as hard as you can to make this different, to separate us from. There's a lot of fast break teams in the world, but do they sprint? Do they really push the basketball as fast as they can dribble it? And that was just a continued emphasis. But every drill we did then became only the whistle stops it. So where most people do many half-court drills, deny the wing, one-on-one guard the ball, two-on-two, three-on-three, any kind of offense-defensive drill you can think of, didn't end for us. We would inbound the ball. A coach would inbound, or somebody was designated to inbound, or we really work on rebound bust out, get the rebound and take off with it. So every drill was a full court drill. If we were doing it on both ends, we'd let the ball sometimes just go to half court before we would blow the whistle. All of that in trying to build this onto the next play mentality, like get into the next play quicker than they will. And then create, over time, thousands of opportunities where they get to practice that. So, we would do just throw the ball off the backboard, go get it, rebound and take off. That's wonderful. But now you get the defensive rebound in a one-on-one deny the wing drill and you take off with it. And he's expected to guard and press you one-on-one full court. And sometimes if we had the court, we'd let that go three times, go down, go back. And it's like, so that they were always knowing I'm not playing a drill. I'm learning to play, the Pfeiffer way, the Newberry way, the VMI way of playing the game.
I would have to imagine that because you're playing a little bit simpler, you were able to install things pretty quickly, and that allowed you to start practicing the 5-on-5 pretty quickly. Is that accurate?
Very accurate. I may have said this last time, but I was speaking at a clinic one time, and the guy before me said, simplicity is the greatest form of genius. And I stood up, I said, well, then I am the smartest man in basketball. I mean, Tony, for 20 years, we basically ran down the floor to three to the baseline. We run a guy to the rim. He's right under the net starting. Two guys in the corners, bottom of the block extended. Two guys at the top, elbows up. And we do it a little bit different on the Division I level. We've added a little bit more, but not a lot. But they weren't allowed to move unless they drove it, rebounded it, or rescued it because we were in trouble. So, I mean, you're talking your scout plan to play us was – you could blindfold your defensive players and run them to five spots on the floor. And if we weren't there, we would be there shortly. And we weren't moving. Now think about that, how in-depth scouting is. And to me, the only team who's ever stopped that was us when we didn't do what we were supposed to do. No one's ever stopped that. North Carolina didn't stop it. Duke didn't stop it. Purdue didn't stop it. The relentlessness of it makes it impossible. And then everybody with a mentality of driving to score, not just bouncing the ball, right? It's an aggressive attacking one or two dribble get to the rim mentality. And everybody who touches the ball has that mentality, and it's over and over and over. And it was not a shoot quick offense. We had no number goals. As fast as you can without turning it over, take a great shot, go get the rebound. So it was okay. Like we didn't, it was fine if it took us 30 seconds to get a great shot. No problem with that. Just stay in attack mode the whole time. And then, putting them in as many different ways to practice that as possible.
One of the things that I felt was like the major challenge was you could tell, like, because you're practicing that way, those guys, you're practicing full court. There is a level of intensity and just stamina that they're now building over the course of those 2-hour practices every day, that the old John Wooden, make the practices harder than the games. It seems like once you got in the games, then first five would come out and you're doing your pressing and you're running. And like you said, I don't remember ever, there was a little bit more preparation in for the presses and like what you might see and that kind of thing, but there wasn't a lot of scouting for the offense, but there was just this consistent level of how intense everything was. And then you look over and it's the next five dudes coming in, and it wasn't anything different and it wasn't anything fancy, but it was the exact same thing again. There was no drop off, and that just kept happening over and over and over. And it wasn't necessarily that you're wearing down the other team. It's just the natural progression throughout the game of those guys are still sharp and executing the same way the entire game. And you mentioned the D1 teams. If somebody didn't listen to the last episode, we talked a little bit about this. But talk about the offense number-wise. Like, what were some of the numbers that you all were averaging and where that fit in all of D1 and D2?
Yeah, I think we led Division II in scoring five times and were second, whenever we weren't first, basically. West Liberty guy there is now at Nova, does a tremendous job. And I think it was either one of us was leading the country and the other second in scoring. I think we averaged 103 is the most we ever averaged. We scored 146 against Barton. They were the best defensive team in the league that year in regulation. Won 146-122. Barton's high scoring year on the year was 98 before that game. So they scored 24 more points in a game than they had ever scored and lost by, 20-something. Scored 66 against North Carolina in the second half, the most points ever scored against a North Carolina team in a half in the history of their program. Scored 56 against Purdue in the first half. Scored 50 on Duke's 2008 national championship team. Duke was really playing D in those days. I think only three Division I teams scored 40 and a half the entire season. No one scored 50. Scored 89 on Frank Martin's Final Four team. It was the most points ever scored on a Frank Martin coach team. And again, we weren't doing anything different because we were playing those guys. Just the same habits, the same relentlessness, the same go after it, same rebounding mentality. So I would tell our players, this has been time tested. You can imagine what kids are saying. You mean I run to the corner, coach, and I stay here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I say, is that a difficult instruction? No. Then why are you moving? And, it just why does any system work if you have success at it? Kids kind of start believing in it. And, so different now in our upside down world, our upside college basketball world. You're not having a lot of seniors. You're not having a lot of older kids worry about all levels of basketball because of that. And I think we're missing the point on the great 4 and 5 year college experience that I had and so many of my players had that I'm afraid no one's going to have again. But there's no doubt that having that, move to Newberry, starting here at VMI, teaching this to everyone who's never done it before, way, way harder than teaching it to the 3 or 4 new freshmen that you have coming into your program, surrounded by 9 to 12 others who already completely believe in it, make that kind of teach a whole lot easier, I think.
All right, last thing here, it can just be real quick. What is 1-2 big suggestions that you would have for coaches wanting to play fast?
It has to be somewhat your personality, I think. I mean, it's always been my personality, so it's really easy for me to buy into that. And then this is true of any system. You have to be relentless in your teaching, relentless in your evaluation and accountability. And then you have to stay with it, right? It's not going to be perfect the first few times you do it. It's not. That's true of any system, right? You got to decide how you want to play, and then you got to figure out all the details of doing that. And then you learn every day, what to teach based on what happened yesterday, I think.
That's Coach Dave Davis, Associate Head Coach at Virginia Military Institute. Coach, again, great stuff. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tony.